Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Primetime.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All righty, we made it to hour two. You're listening to Luke Anderson's voice because Isaac Ropp has better things to do.
Well, he's got Vegas to do, and that is better.
No, I don't.
I mean, given the choice, I mean, I love you, Luke.
I mean, well, no, I'm not saying that I'm in a bad spot.
You're a handsome young man.
No, stop. He didn't choose Vegas over me. He chose Vegas over you.
Well, that's
I am filling in for him.
Well, that's a clear choice. Yeah. I would choose Vegas over me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm the one that, I guess, reaps the benefit, and I get to sit in with you and talk hair for a couple hours. But before we get to that, Mike, we brought up the whole Elfrid Payton haircut,
yeah.
And I mentioned if you could have that haircut, would you take your hair back? And Mike's got 35 questions. I don't want to do them right now, but Mike was very intrigued and went into the break hot and bothered with all the questions about what kind of hairstyle we can get you
in. If you don't know who Elfrid Payton is, he plays for the Suns. He started out with the Magic, and he's got the weekend hair. I don't know how else you can describe it.
It looks like he has a mop on his head that's flopping forward over his eyes.
Yes,
it's a tsunami.
Sticks out and up. Yeah, it's like a tsunami wave.
I call it the reverse mullet. It's instead of business in the front, party in the back, it's business in the back, party in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those.
We'll get back to Elfrid Payton's hair. Maybe we'll do it in the club.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think a white guy can grow the Elfrid Payton.
Listen, this is an imaginary scenario, so we'll be fine with that. But we'll
move
on.
It's like a unicorn. I'm Scandinavian. I can't grow that hair.
Oh, but if you could, would you? Okay, that later. But I wanted to get to an article that was on ESPN today, and it was Todd Archer put together this piece, and it's kind of highlights the change in philosophy the Dallas Cowboys have with their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
So Jason Garrett took over in 2007. He inherited Tony Romo as their starting quarterback. So if you'll recall, the year before, he came in because of an injury and played the last 10 games. That was the fumble against Seattle in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Tony Romo had the job. But the first thing Jason Garrett wanted to do, who, for those that don't know, Jason Garrett was Troy Aikman's backup. And he was in Dallas for a very long time. And he, as a backup quarterback, first thing he said, let's go out and get a veteran backup quarterback. And that was Brad Johnson. Then they added John Kitna and a few other guys. Well, the time they had to use their backup quarterback in long relief didn't go so well. By that time, they had moved on to Matt Cassel and Brandon Whedon.
I remember the Cowboys had a long stretch there where, you know, it's like seemingly even before Tony Romo, they were in that purgatory hell that is not having a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, after Aikman, up until Romo really established himself. And Romo, I think, was an undrafted guy.
He was, yeah. Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois. Yeah. But, you know, in between the two, I don't think like Dallas fan, well, I guess a Dallas fan probably does, but if you're just a fan of the NFL, I think you forget how long they wandered in the desert and how many different quarterbacks they had.
Yeah.
So it'd be appreciate the fact that you had at least two of them. You had some nice bookends
there. Like Quincy Carter era, wasn't it?
Exactly.
That, wasn't that pretty?
And Vinny Testaverde was a quarterback there for a while. I mean, it was not the land of milk and honey for the Cowboys.
So, and that's kind of the whole point of this conversation. It's just not an easy position to fill. So the funny thing about Dak Prescott getting the job – a lot of people think that he's a rookie that earned the job. That's not the case at all. You had Tony Romo break his back.
Yeah, he got hurt.
And that, but Kellen Moore was supposed to be the guy that was going to move in and take that job.
And Moore broke his leg, right?
And he broke his ankle, I think.
Yeah.
And so Dak Prescott was number three on the depth chart, and they're like, yeah, well, we'll have to roll with it.
Exactly. No one, including the Dallas Cowboys, had any idea that Dak Prescott was capable of being the starter as a rookie. No one. And he really benefited from a dominant offensive line and a nice run game.
Sure. And so he had, what, 23 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions, 13 wins in his first season.
Yes.
So this is kind of the start of their shift in philosophy, because at that time, they were thinking of calling around the league and trying to get guys like Josh McCown and making these big offers to go in and bring in a veteran quarterback. And they decided, they're like, you know what, let's roll the dice on this kid. So now, over the last 2 years, what they've done is their backup quarterbacks have not been veterans, and they haven't even gone out to get them. Right now, they've got I lost it in the article, but they've got two young guys, and they've just got them sitting there just waiting for their opportunity to play. And Jerry Jones' switch in philosophy is, listen, if we lose Dak Prescott, instead of putting in a stopgap that's not going to do anything, the only way to truly evaluate guys, because again, they had a third string evaluation on Dak Prescott, throw them in there and see how they do in game action.
Yeah.
That's the only way to evaluate it. So now what they're doing is they have no plans in the immediate future. Stephen Jones is Jerry Jones' son, and he helps in the football operations. And he has a quote in there, and I'll paraphrase. But he said basically the idea is, let's just make it a competition. Let these guys come in. If they're better, they can go out and they can start a game. But have that competition in there. And if they go in and do well versus a veteran. So let's say you have a guy that's, you know, 34 years old and you've got a guy that's 24 years old. They both go in. Well, if the guy that's 34 does well, that doesn't solve any of your problems moving forward. The guy that 24 goes in and plays well, well, now you can develop him into a better quarterback.
It is interesting. It's one that you don't see many people, you know, try this road. And by the way, the backups there are Cooper Rush.
Yeah, that's right.
Mike White.
And
Dalton Strum. You know, it's and you know, you've, so you got two rookies. And you've got
Mike White was fifth round pick this year.
Yeah, a fifth round pick, and then there was a free agent, and the Cooper Rush kid, I think, was also a free agent in 17. He's out of Central Michigan, so it's, you don't even have like high profile, you know, draft picks or high profile free agents. But I, you know, to be honest with you, it there is some sense to be made there. The only downside to that is if you are a Super Bowl contender, a la supposedly the Dallas Cowboys, right? Is there some value in having Nick Foles?
Well, I mean,
that's the best example, right? Carson Wentz is an MVP, probably would have won the MVP. Carson Wentz gets hurt, tears his ACL, and it's like, oh my God, Philadelphia seasons is over. Well, no, it's not. Here comes Nick Foles. You run him in there and you win a Super Bowl with him. Or at least, you know, let's say your quarterback goes out for 6 to 8 weeks. The belief with the backup quarterback in the NFL is you want to get a split.
Yeah.
Like, so if your quarterback's going to be out, you know, let's 6 weeks, your goal as a backup quarterback is to try to go 3-3 and keep your team afloat until that guy comes back. The Nick Foles one is a little bit, you know, that's kind of fluky.
Well, like there's been guys that have done it. Kurt Warner, Tom Brady was a backup.
Exactly.
Frank Reich had the greatest comeback in NFL playoff history. Jeff Hostetler
won a Super Bowl with New York. So it does happen, but there's very few teams that expect your backup quarterback to come in and light the world on fire. But it is an interesting philosophy to say, you know, we know, like Matt Moore, it would be the prime example. I don't think Matt Moore is signed. And I think Matt Moore is a solid backup in the NFL. I always kind of wanted to see if Matt Moore could, you know, could be a game manager and be a starter in the NFL, but doesn't look like he's going to get that shot. But basically what they're saying is, we know what Matt Moore is, and Matt Moore is not good enough, you know, to lead us to anything. So why run the risk on Matt Moore when we know what he is and there's a ceiling to him, whereas we don't know what Cooper Rush has? Maybe if Dak Prescott gets hurt, maybe Cooper Rush is the next Tony Romo or the next Tom Brady. It's an interesting philosophy, and I can see there's some logic behind it. But I, to me, to be a Super Bowl contending team, I think Dallas has one of the top 6 or 7 rosters in the NFL. Dallas's roster is really good. And it's interesting that you don't have someone that you feel competent to run that ship if something happened to Dak Prescott for an extended period of time. I think it's a pretty ballsy move. I'm not going to sit here and kill it, but it certainly is risky.
Well, and there's a whole nother side to it, which is the financial part. They don't really necessarily get into that here, but if you think about how much of a luxury it is, this offseason, you have Matt Ryan, who is now the highest paid quarterback ever, making over $30 million. Before that, it was you had Jimmy Garoppolo took it. Kirk Cousins signs this, you know, the most guaranteed money we've ever seen.
Yeah.
We still have Aaron Rodgers, who's going to get signed. And you have these teams that are overpaying quarterbacks, or at least hamstringing what their personnel people can do with the rest of their roster. When you pay a guy $30 million and they're taking up 10, 12, yep, 15% of your cap space, I mean, that really hurts your roster.
It does. It's, you know, the nice part about Dallas, though, I mean, Dallas isn't necessarily in the best cap position, but Dak Prescott doesn't make jack squat. Yeah. So if there was a team that could afford to pay a backup, it would be Dallas. And I guess that is one thing about, like, Philadelphia. Like, they can sign Nick Foles because Carson Wentz, yep, is on a rookie deal. Once you get into that, you know, you're paying Aaron Rodgers, you know, here you go, and you may not have the money to pay, you know, $4, $5, $6, $7 million it takes to sign a quality backup. But, you know, Green Bay found this out. Aaron Rodgers goes down. Brett Hundley is awful. Brett Hundley sucks.
But also, you have a roster in Green Bay that isn't good because you're paying Aaron Rodgers so much money.
Yes, but if you had a competent – Green Bay was, what, a game or two away from making the playoffs? Yep. If you had a reasonable backup quarterback in Green Bay, you're in the postseason and Aaron Rodgers probably comes back and plays.
Well, he came back. Remember, they had to win their final two games. They didn't win their second to last game, so then they pulled the chute and he disappeared. Yeah. I think that was, yes, kind of the circuit of events. But this kind of led me down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I kind of let's stay with this just for another minute, and we'll dive into kind of some of the financial things, because it was a little surprising to me when you look at how much money Super Bowl winning quarterbacks make.
Yeah.
And then looking at how much the average team is paying a quarterback. We'll do that next. You're listening to Primetime right here on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime. Luke Anderson filling in for Isaac Kropp. We're in the middle of a conversation about the Dallas Cowboys' new philosophy on the backup quarterback position. They're going unproven, young, unpaid guys and hoping that they've got a little, you know, a little bit of magic in one of these guys, like they found in Dak Prescott and Tony Romo. And this is a philosophy that they've changed over the years. We kind of moved into a little bit of the money talk. I want to just throw a couple stats at you, because I read this article and just got me on this rabbit hole of kind of going, all right, well, who were those backup quarterbacks that came in and had these great years like Tony Romo? And we talked about that a little bit with Kurt Warner and Tom Brady and these guys that went on to win Super Bowls. So what I did was I pulled up a list of all the quarterback winners, and I went back to 1994 and just seen where these guys got paid. And you look at Steve Young, who was the winner of the Super Bowl in 94. He's still the highest paid quarterback. He had the largest percentage of cap space taken up of any quarterback to win a Super Bowl that I could find.
Yeah.
And he, you know, partly because they had been a great team and they were transitioning away from Joe Montana and getting the monkey off the back, the whole thing. Well, after that, you look through and some of these quarterbacks, especially after Brett Favre won it, John Elway didn't make all that much money when he won his Super Bowls. And then you go into a stretch where you had Kurt Warner, Trent Dilfer, and Tom Brady win Super Bowls. Those guys got paid next to nothing. But the funny thing was I averaged out the winners of all of the Super Bowls, 6.9% of the cap. Right now in the NFL, I found this great article that kind of outlined it, 8% of the average NFL salary cap, and some teams have as high as 15% of the salary cap going right now to just their quarterback position.
Yeah.
And this is all levels of it. But you kind of wonder if they're – like right now, let's say the Seattle Seahawks called you up, and you're any team in the NFL that needs a quarterback, how much would you give for Russell Wilson right now?
Well, it's here's the thing. The NFL is constructed one of two ways. We've talked about this. That if the model in the NFL is one of two things. Either you build a complete roster that tries to carry a quarterback, or you have a roster with holes in it and you have the quarterback try to carry it.
Yeah.
There really isn't any other way. It's either you're paying a quarterback $20 to $30 million or you're paying a quarterback on a rookie deal next to nothing. Or I guess if you wanted to go down the road, you could have the Trent Dilfer type,
sure,
right? Where you're not paying him a whole lot and he's a game manager. And, you know, there are different philosophies, but this is such a quarterback driven league that the best window you have, and it's why you see quarterbacks drafted in the first round, even if they don't necessarily carry a first round grade, the best window you have to win a Super Bowl is in the first 5 years when you draft your quarterback in the first round, because you're not having to pay him. Because even if you're decent, you know, the Joe Flaccos of the world, Flacco was a good quarterback,
yeah,
and Flacco won a Super Bowl, and now you had to go and pay Joe Flacco 23 or whatever it was, million per year, and he's not worth it. But in the open market, someone else is, and there just isn't a lot of teams outside of the Denver Broncos that have ever said, we're not going to pay this guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, once Denver decided to not pay Brock Osweiler and he left, not that that was the right decision to pay him, but if you've noticed that Denver hasn't been very good since, because they don't have a quarterback.
And how did they win those Super Bowl, that last Super Bowl?
Well, they won it with defense.
Well, but they also were paying a ton of money to, yes, Peyton Manning. So to get to the first one, when he could actually throw the football, I don't know if you remember the first one.
Yes.
When they got housed.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like,
they paid him a ton of money. He took less money to make sure he could get back, but he was still getting paid well above what you see with a lot of these guys. But that's Brady too, right? He's always taken a little less money.
Yes.
Trust that
he is, but even in New England, you don't have a complete team. All these teams that have won Super Bowls with Tom Brady have had holes in them. And the belief is that you can patch those holes with the greatness that is Tom Brady and then the schemes of Bill Belichick. But there's other teams that aren't very good at it. I think that Green Bay has peed away the prime of Aaron Rodgers. Now, I still think that Super Bowl should have been theirs when Seattle beat them.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think that Green Bay was the best team that year, and I don't know how they lost that. They should have two.
They don't know how they lost it either.
I don't. I thought they were the best team, and they should have won it. But I think that Green Bay has done a really poor job of building a team around Aaron Rodgers, and I get that his salary handicap you a little bit, but he does so much for you. To me, there really isn't an excuse for wasting his prime, but it's why roster assembly in the NFL is so damn hard. There isn't an easy way to do this, which is why I think it's interesting that Dallas is taking this approach of, we are not going to spend $5 to $6 million on a backup quarterback. We're going to go with a young, unproven guy. And if that young, unproven guy turns out to be something, it gives us a bigger window. Yep. It gives us a bigger window where we don't have to pay our quarterback. Dak Prescott was not a first-round pick, so he's only going to be controlled for 4 years. He's already played two. You've got 2 years left before you have to pay Dak Prescott $24 million a year or have the balls to let him go, which... Yeah. Holy cow. And by the way, Dallas is the second highest dead cap money team in the NFL. Dallas has over $24 million in dead cap space this year. Not only can Dallas not afford to pay Dak Prescott right now, they certainly can't afford to pay a backup quarterback. So some of this may be out of necessity.
And just painting it as a philosophy. So it's going, hey, this is what we're going to do. Because we have no choice.
Because you have no choice, but it is interesting. Let's say, for example, that Dak Prescott, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Sure. Let's say Dak Prescott blows a knee this year.
Sure.
Tears it. Let's say like week, I don't know, 13.
Okay.
And Dallas is, at the time, Dallas is, a 9-10 win team.
They're flirting with first place in the division.
Yeah, they're flirting with first place. Prescott blows his knee out, and Connor Rush, or is it Cooper Rush? Cooper Rush, the kid out of Western Michigan, comes in and plays real well, wins a playoff game, comes in next season and starts the year and goes 5-2, 6-1. And all of a sudden, Dak Prescott gets healthy again, and you really don't see a huge difference in the team's performance. Maybe you bow out again in the first or second round. Dak Prescott's contract's up. Do you pay Dak Prescott $25 million or... do you say, all right, well, thanks for coming. Good luck somewhere else. Here's a franchise tag, transition tag. Go sign somewhere else. We'll recoup a draft pick because someone else will sign Dak Prescott.
Yep.
And then you roll the dice on a guy that you're probably paying $2 million a year.
Well, this goes
that
back.
That would be the biggest, ballsiest move of an NFL team ever to try to do something like that because it's never been done before.
Well, and that's my question. That goes back to kind of the question I started this with. If you were to put a franchise quarterback up on the trade market, I mean, we saw how much Washington had to pay in franchise tags to Kirk Cousins, who didn't want to sign there.
Yep.
And he had driven his value so much that he got almost entirely guaranteed contract from Minnesota, a team that's right there that is going all in for this little window that they have to try to win a Super Bowl, which they may or may not because they've been great before. So if you were a team out there that was a quarterback away, how much would you give up? How many first round picks would you give up if Aaron Rodgers was on the trading block?
Here's my thing. To me, if you can win a Super Bowl, you go all in. I think what Minnesota did was very smart.
Okay.
I think Minnesota looked at it and said, we have everything we could need, and Kirk Cousins is going to put us over the top, and it's going to put us in a window to win a championship and probably put us in a championship window for 3 to 4 years, and we're going to be able to keep this team together.
Almost what Denver did with Peyton Manning.
And by the way, Minnesota has a reckoning coming. Yep. In 3 to 4 years, Minnesota will have to blow this up because there's too many guys that are going to need to be paid, and Kirk Cousins makes an ton of money, but you've got a window here where you should win a Super Bowl or two, kind of what Seattle did with them, you know, with theirs. They have a window, and to me, that's definitely worth going all in. The more interesting one to me is Seattle right now.
Yeah.
Seattle is not very good.
Nope.
And probably will not be. And you're paying Russell Wilson a lot of money. Therein lies the question is that if someone comes to Seattle and says, I will give you 3 ones and 2 twos for Russell Wilson, and you look at Seattle and you say, well, we're not going to be very competitive right now. We're a 500 football team at best. We're going to have to get younger. We're going to have to retool this. What could that haul do to restart this thing? That to me is the more interesting question, not what a Minnesota would give up in order to put in that Super Bowl window, because I think that price tag is very high.
Yeah.
If I'm a team that's a quarterback away, I'm giving up a lot.
Yeah.
I think the interesting one is if you aren't a quarterback away, if you're 12 pieces away,
sure,
and you're having to tear it down and rebuild it, would you be willing to give up a franchise quarterback? I would love to see a team have the guts to do it. Denver attempted, they tried to go down this road, but they didn't want to sign Brock Osweiler. They knew it was terrible. They just didn't have anyone else waiting in the wings, but they did say no. They jumped off the carousel and were like, nope, I'm not doing this. Now, didn't necessarily work out because they got older. They had to turn over the roster anyways, and they didn't have a star quarterback. I'm trying to think of another team.
But they also didn't get a haul for it because they didn't have a quarterback that they could trade off.
They just let him go.
They just let him go, and he was bad, which seemed to be the right decision.
I thought New Orleans should have done this. Now, New Orleans shoved it in my face because New Orleans dug themselves out of salary cap hell. They were awful for about 4 years. They had like $30 million in dead cap. They were dreadful. Had holes all over the roster, couldn't sign anyone. And I said like 3 years ago, if they were smart, they would go get an S-ton for Drew Brees right now. Yep. They could have gone out on the open market and gotten 5 picks probably in the first 3 rounds of the draft for Drew Brees and completely revamped that roster. New Orleans sucked it up. They were bad for a number of years, got younger, got rid of all the dead cap space, drafted well, and should have been in the NFC title game last year. And now they're going to have a little window here with Drew Brees over the next 2 to 3 years that maybe they win another one. But that was another team that I thought could have gone an interesting road in getting rid of a franchise quarterback. Even though he was older, think about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's young.
Yeah.
You could get such a haul
yes, you could.
For him, but you would take such hell for it. You would have to have an ownership and a management group that was willing to take the heat from a fan base for doing it.
And you'd have to have a coach a little bit younger than, say, 70.
Yeah. And people saying the Redskins did it. Not really. The Redskins went out and got Alex Smith.
Yeah.
They were like, well, we got to pay someone. And they wanted to sign Kirk Cousins.
He just didn't want to be there.
He didn't want to be there. And they screwed it up because they slow played him. So they were like, okay, he's not going to come back. He's going to leverage us. So we're going to go out and find Alex Smith. Yeah. The Redskins didn't do anything smart. They botched that.
Well, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on the Cowboys over the next couple of years, but we need to get to the fastest growing segment in popularity on any station, anywhere, ever. In the News is next. Primetime on 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike with sports.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Mike Lynch still obsessed with haircuts today. The biggest news going on. of the day. But when, you know, the captain of the show is gone, Isaac Rupp is out. We need to carry on his legacy. And the one thing he'll be remembered for after all this is over, you know, after this show is long gone, Suk retires to Mexico or wherever, and I've been fired from the station several times, and Mike is running the whole thing. People remember Isaac Rupp because he started in the news. So we do it for him today. I'm your action news reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on this May 18th at 4:36 p.m. Bringing the In the News segment. We won't start with good news. I wish we were, but there was a school shooting in Texas today.
Yeah.
The depending on the list you look at, the 20th or 22nd school shooting of the year so far. 10 dead was the last that I saw as far as the updates. This is in Santa Fe, Texas. This happened earlier today.
Yeah, I think it's the number is staying at 10. I think there's a couple people that are still in the hospital with serious conditions. But I think it's 10 and. Look, we don't need to sit here and belabor this and get into a whole political debate and just people yelling and screaming at each other. But, you know,
there's enough of that going on.
I'm not going to pretend that this doesn't get to me. I tweeted this out, and I'm not one of these Twitter warriors. I refuse to get into Twitter debates with anyone. It doesn't do any good for me to go on social media and try to post anything. That's not my. It's not my style. I don't think it accomplishes anything, but I did feel the need to tweet it out that, and I'm not saying this because of what happened here today, or I'm not trying to try to be over dramatic. I swear to God, every day I drop off my two kids at school.
Yeah.
I drop off one kid at junior high, and I drop off my other kid. My oldest is in college. So I drop off one at a junior high and one at a high school. And every single day now, when I drop them off, I have the thought as I'm pulling away, but I hope to God that this isn't the day.
Yeah.
And you can say all you want that I'm paranoid, or that you know, statistically speaking, they're much more likely to have something else happen to them. But I think it's goddamn embarrassing that we live in the country that we live in, and that you as a parent have to think that when you drop your kid off. And I know I'm not the only one. I heard a lot of feedback today that said that I'm not alone in this. And I'm not an overprotective helicopter parent. I'm not someone that freaks out. I'm not someone that stresses about every little thing. That, you know, there's someone lurking in the bushes waiting to take my kid. But I know for a fact that this is something that my kids think about when they go to school. I know it's something that I think about when I drop them off. And that to me is embarrassing. It is absolutely embarrassing. That this continues to happen, and for, you know, someone else, and, you know, was trying to make a valid point to try to make me feel a little bit better, and I do appreciate when people try to do that, but said something like, you know, think about it, like when you get on an airplane, right? You know, we're all scared sometimes about getting on an airplane, but the odds of it happening are very low. But also realize that we haven't had an airline crash like with fatalities on in this country in a decade. Planes don't crash.
Yeah.
You know, we can be scared of it, but that's an irrational fear because planes don't crash. Mm-hmm. And if one did crash, we freak out about it.
Yep.
Like when Southwest Airlines has an engine blow and one person ends up dead, they shut down the airplanes and they do an extensive check for it. This is our 22nd one in this year alone. And just think about it. If you want to take that airplane analogy, what if we had 22 airliners that had gone down this year? 22 at this point in the year. None of us would be getting on airplanes saying, well, statistically speaking, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get on my soapbox, but with each and every one of these, it gets harder and harder for me as a parent and just as a human being to do this every day. It's just, my heart absolutely breaks for those families. I wasn't going to soapbox it, so I'm sorry, but it got to me today, and this one has been, this one is I can feel it in my chest. It's in there.
Well, that's the other thing that's so staggering about these school shootings, and my kids are too young to be in school yet, but the fact that you have to apologize for being upset about this is something that is, because it's so politically divisive, and the headline comes out and then it's followed on every news feed that I look at by arguments between the president of the United States and the survivors from Parkland and Fox News and CNN, and people are, it creates a political firestorm immediately after it, to the point where when you are worried about your kids, you have to apologize for it.
Yeah, and I don't.
And that's what really sucks about it. We'll move on from that.
I don't want to turn. I'm not trying to get into a political debate. It just, it happened. obviously we had to address it. And then if anyone was bothered by what I said, I apologize. I'm not trying to pee in anyone's Cheerios. It just, this has been going around my head today, and it affected me and it bothered me. And so certainly didn't mean to turn it into a political debate.
No, it's fair. We'll move off of it quickly. I will skip over the plane crash in Cuba that also happened today.
Speaking of that analogy that I just made.
As far as good news today.
About plane crashes. You got like something like a squirrel water skiing? Remember back in the old days, that was the news?
Hey, I've got the story to move on for you. This comes from the Oregon Live last night, and this is a two-parter, which to me is fantastic. It starts with a headline that reads, "Lost Luggage Delays Stormy Daniels' Oregon Trip Strip Club Performance." So yesterday, Stormy Daniels supposed to perform at Stars Cabaret in Bend, Oregon.
But couldn't.
Because her luggage was lost. And here's the thing. If any performance is going to be delayed by a lost luggage, you wouldn't think it would be a nude review. What does she need from her luggage?
That was my first question that I had. Like, is there not... Like, look, we've all been to a gentleman's establishment.
Well, I've never been.
I say gentleman with loose terms, whatever you want to call it. Yep. We've all been there. Is the outfit really that important?
I can't go on for my performance. I'm missing my outfit.
There isn't one that she can borrow from one of the other dancers?
Well, I think, to Luke's point, why?
Just
make a scene, go out fully nude already.
Whatever you're wearing. You were wearing something on the airplane. You could probably wear that out there. If you went out business casual and then stripped down, would anybody be like, oh my God, did you see what she's wearing to start that though? It would have been a great show, except for she was dressed very conservatively to start. That's fine.
Look, and I was blown away. Like, I saw like the local news was covering this. Like, yes, KGW.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. I guess there were lines like around the corner. Like, it was a whole thing. Like, I did not understand that this was that big a deal. Like, I honestly was like, I don't know how much this costs.
One of the biggest news stories of your day, dancing for you.
I don't know. She's an old...
She's a 39-year-old porn star.
Porn star. I just don't get that.
Stuke, someone called that a MILF.
Is she a mother?
I just was thrown by that one. So I did not think that this
All
was going to be a big deal. Like, in my mind, I pictured, like, kind of a sad, just like I don't know, like 20 people rambling around in there. You ever been to like a card show or something? Like, are you the shops in Vegas?
Up Close Magic Show.
I remember being at Caesars once, and there's a sports memorabilia shop down in Caesars.
Yep.
And it's a really cool one. I think it's called
Card Shop.
Yeah, it's a
two different kinds of cards.
Yeah, yeah. It's a memorabilia store, and it's really cool.
Rose sits outside of one of them at the Rio and signs autographs all the time.
And signs. Yeah. There's a really good one at Caesars, and I remember going through, and Ken Norton, the boxer, broke Muhammad Ali's jaw. He was there. And I remember walking by, and there was no one in line. No one. And as I walked in, Ken Norton's like, hey, great. Nice to meet you. And like, I felt so bad. I paid like $50 just because I felt bad for Ken Norton because he thought I was there to have him sign something. That's in my mind what I thought Stormy Daniels. I thought there'd be like 9 people there, and it'd be a bunch of weirdos with like Dahmer glasses and bad comb overs. But from what I saw in the news, that place was packed.
But Sue,
like, people were fighting to get in.
You have to imagine if Ken Norton was in the news at that time because the president of the United States paid him hush money because they had an affair right after his child was born. I mean, you realize the sensationalism of the story. Now, you're probably thinking, what could have possibly gone wrong? And that brings me to the second sad line.
Yes, this is just the first part the first show was delayed. Then it gets better.
Okay, so part two, this is updated 11 a.m. this morning from Oregon Live. Stormy Daniels' performance in Bend cut short after a drunk man throws wallet in her face.
Now,
this is fantastic.
Here, take my money, all of it.
Who, by the way, look. Everyone deserves respect. Look. Everyone. It's a profession. You can call it an honest profession. Some say it's the most honest profession. So I got zero issue with what she does. Zero. And at no point should anyone throw anything at another human being. You can't make it hail. You make it rain. You can't throw change at her.
Yeah.
But a wallet. Is a wallet really... Is that really worth cutting a show short? I get kick the guy out. But this is like when Axl Rose back in the day, when someone like, when someone you know, threw some water at him, and then Axl Rose would storm off this. Yeah.
It's over. Wasn't that the riot in
Oh, yeah. Someone died.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone died.
It started a riot.
That was the one where James Hetfield and Metallica got blown up by the pyrotechnics.
That's right.
And then like Guns N' Roses came on for like 20 minutes, was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Do you really need to leave because you took a wallet to the face? Like, if you throw your wallet at me, I'm not going to be happy about it. I want you kicked out. But I'm also not going to pretend that you threw a brick at me.
Well, but you don't know what the lighting is. Did she know she got in the face with a wallet when it happened? She was probably stunned. Here's the story for you. Daniels, the 39-year-old porn star, at the center of the Trump administration scandal involving the $130,000 money payoff. This is just the fact that this paragraph exists in our world.
Yeah.
Was dancing to Poison's Every Rose Has a Thorn.
Bravo.
With nothing but high heels and a garter on her right leg when she was hit in the face by the wallet. Shocked, she ran off stage after throwing the wallet back at the man. The crowd booed and the announcer said the show was stopped. So now we talk to the man that was unnamed. His comments. I was wasted. Daniels refused to press charges, and the man was let go, free to walk home. And his further comments, I think she's a really nice person, the man said. I'm extremely sorry.
It just, you can't make it up.
It's,
you really can't make it up. And the piece de resistance, every rose has its thorn.
It's just the sentence. The 39-year-old porn star at the center of the Trump administration scandal, dancing to Every Rose Has Its Thorn. It's very well written. I would like to commend the author of that, but I don't actually have them in front of me. They credit the source, which is the Bulletin, but I don't have the author, but I'd like to thank them for that. Let me scroll down if I can give them credit. But we do have more news. Oh, it is Kyle Spurr of the Bulletin. Well written. I just thought that was wonderful. So that's what's going on locally. And we'll get to more local news when In the News continues on the news part of this show that we call In the News. This is Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, me too. I love you.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Luke Anderson filling in for Isaac Ropp. We are in segment two of In the News. If you missed the first part of it, here's what you need to know. Somewhere in Oregon right now, there's a conversation going on between two guys, and one says, hey, how was that Stormy Daniels thing last night? And the other goes, well, I got really drunk, and I threw my wallet and it hit her in the face, and she canceled the show. Somewhere in Oregon, that
is happening. And as
we speak,
as one of our P1 points out here, one of our P1's old deal there, some news reporter got this assignment. Yeah. Someone at KGW, then someone at Coins, someone at the Oregonian. Someone drove to Bend and went to Stars last night and watched a porn star do whatever it is that she does, and they got paid to do it.
Yep.
That was on assignment.
And then they had a story to cover, because, boy, things got wild.
Imagine going home and telling your wife that. Like, you know, you guys are both...
I feel like that's a couple's outing, though, isn't it, really? Like, if you're going to go see Stormy Daniels, you're bringing the wife along, aren't you?
Is that what you have to do? You're like,
Mike, you're bringing the significant other out and...
No.
On. No?
No.
How would the missus react if you said, hey, honey? Because he's coming here, right, to this weekend?
Yeah.
She'll be in Portland. You're like, hey, you know, I didn't want to do this, but the boss said that for the fan here, I gotta go cover this. I gotta get the microphone there. I gotta get some picks,
some sound clips.
Gotta get some sound, and I'm gonna go.
I would assume she'd be like, okay.
You would assume. Why don't you go home and float that? See how that goes.
Okay. Yeah.
What if you wanted to go as a spectator? I'm not saying that you do necessarily, but if you wanted to, if you invited her, what would her response be? Hey, we should go.
I mean, like, she probably wouldn't go, but I don't know. She'd probably be like, you do you.
Someone said it was Maggie Vespa at KGW. She got the hot tip.
Oh, that's exciting. So we actually had this story sent in via text, 55305. This is the fan text line. A Vancouver teen is suspected of shooting a Beaverton man she targeted on the dating website where sugar daddies lavish young love interests with cash and other gifts in exchange for companionship.
Oh, so what you're saying is I got to get off this website stat. Got to take down my profile.
A 56-year-old Beaverton man was shot in the stomach by a 15-year-old Vancouver girl when their evening did not go as expected.
Now I saw the headline on this.
And she was 15.
That's the, like, I saw a woman shoots prospective sugar daddy.
Yeah.
I did not click on the story. She's 15?
Yeah, that was the headline reimagined by our listeners. So it made me click on it. I read it. Yeah. Raylene Domingo, 15, faces first degree assault and robbery charges after investigators say she arrived at Thomas Licata's suburban home last week, got high with her host and fired a single shot into his belly. Hmm. From what we know, she shot him unprovoked, said Deputy Jeff Talbot of Washington County Sheriff's Officer spokesperson. Both charges measure 11 crimes.
What does
he measure 11 crimes?
Does he get charged with something for? I guess he didn't do anything because he got shot, but
yeah.
Does he get off scot-free on this? Because he was going out with a 15-year-old.
Is that like soliciting or?
Well, did he know she was 15?
That probably not.
So much questions.
Well, actually, so, maybe. Maybe he likes the young ones.
That answer,
I'm guessing you can't go on the website and announce that you're 15.
Yeah, so, yeah, Licata, a married 56-year-old, said he recently met the teen on a seeking arrangement website that boasts it's sugar babies and sugar daddies both get what they want when they want it. So I think it is one of these things that promotes it as companionship. That is mentioned in the story a couple times where it's companionship. It's not a sexual arrangement.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, I think, keeps him in the clear.
I, believe it or not, I have known... I've known people who are friends with people that have been in these sorts of arrangements. And I'm always fascinated by it because the same story gets told over and over again. They always claim, and it's like a friend.
Yeah.
And they always claim that it's not sexual. And I always laugh at that. I'm like, they're like, no. He's an older guy and he really likes her and they kind of hang out, but he pays her rent and like he gets her a car and I'm like, I always laugh. I'm like, really? Like it's not sexual? But I've known three people that have known girlfriends.
Yeah.
So friends of theirs that have been in this sort of thing and they've all claimed that it's a non-sexual thing, which I just find absurd.
I stayed the night at the lavish apartment of a Minneapolis Hooters girl that had the entire palatial estate paid for by a Texas oil baron that just would hang out with her a couple times a year, take her to parties, and she swore that it was nothing like that. That he was an old rich guy.
Yeah, no one ever admits to it. Everyone's like, it's on the oven up.
Again, you run into those places and you never know, but we can't get into too much deep investigation of this because we've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up. I mean, we could do a whole profile on it.
I'm saying he got shot, so kind of feel bad for him, but not really because he's creepy.
That's what you get.
Right.
I guess that's what, if you were thinking about going onto that website to finding a sugar baby.
Don't,
because you'll get shot in the stomach. Hot 5 at 5 is next to start hour 3 of this fine program. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.